Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Folklore is the voice of the people, telling them who they are, what they fear, and how they survive. Henry Glassy. Welcome to Grimly.
There with a look at your face.
That's why it's so dark in here. So you don't have to look at me. So today I went shopping.
Okay.
And I went to a bunch of different stores and tried out a bunch of... I didn't try a bunch of clothes. I tried on some things.
Okay.
And I left with no... I bought no things.
Oh.
Because everything sucks. Everything sucks. Everything is ugly. The things I did try, not good looking. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I'm torn. This is like a reasonably priced dress. But I just... No less than three stores I walked in and I was like, ew, and walked about out immediately. I did the round. Like,
so did you go to the mall?
I went to the outlets, which is part of the problem, okay, right? Because yeah. I'm not sure it would be better at the mall.
No, I feel like there's sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't.
It wasn't hitting. It was hitting my eyes. It was all so bad. The material, ultimately I tried on a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I tried on a couple of dresses.
What were you shopping for?
I just need, like, wintery clothes. Okay. Like some, I don't know, something.
I have a fuck ton of sweaters if you want some.
I don't have a lot of sweaters. I just was like... Okay. I the material is bad.
Right.
It's like made in China, obviously going to mm-hmm. fall apart in mm-hmm. 1.5 washes.
Right.
So I was like, no, I can't buy this because I don't want to spend $80 on something that's literally going to last like a month and a half.
Right.
So I didn't buy anything. And then I went to one store. Everything was more expensive. And there was a couple of cute things.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was itchy and uncomfortable. I'm like, why are the materials so
what
terrible?
What is happening?
Everything that we have is now shittier and more expensive.
Yeah, that's Trump's economy.
This is a capitalist rant.
Yeah.
And
I'm here for it. You know I am.
I know.
I'm always like, here for capitalist rant. Worst.
I went in there trying to send my money today. I went to a bunch of different stores, more than I would have gone into.
Right.
And not one single thing appealed to me.
I feel like that's why thrifting has become so big lately. Because everyone's like, everything in the store sucks.
Sucks.
Like, I need to find some stuff from a couple years
You're
ago.
Right.
Maybe I have a shit ton of sweaters that I need to get rid of. I'll send you some pictures.
Okay.
And you can tell me if you want them.
Okay.
How about that?
That is nice.
Thank you.
Women throw parties where they like
trade their clothes. They do. I've been to one of those. It was fine.
Yeah.
It's hard when everyone's not the same size.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate, but it could be fun. But yeah,
nice to try to like, yeah, reuse.
Yeah,
things.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
absolutely.
I didn't try that, but no. I also didn't add to the problem because.
No.
Yes, right. We can clock it now. The shitty material.
The shitty material. I agree.
How dare they?
How fucking dare they?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Anyways, welcome to Grimly.
Oh, welcome to Grimly. We're having Negronis today.
We are having Negronis.
It's the holidays.
Because we are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy shit.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I am Missy.
With Negronis.
With Negronis. I'm Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And this is the last one of the season. Last one of the year.
Oh.
This is our last episode for 2025. Sad. And we get to take a break.
Fantastic. Love that. But we really can't. We need to be on our grind because we need to get ahead.
I was like, what?
We need to get ahead.
Yeah. We looked at our Spotify Wrapped from this previous year. And your fucking episode is the top episode.
You weren't going to mention this.
Wait, honestly, I'm not mad about it. It's just funny.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's because I picked the famous person, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, the most well-known.
There's no way that you were never going to not do that episode because you... are the expert on Robert Durst, I would say.
It's Andrew Jarecki, obviously.
Right. No, that's true. You are the person who knows more than I do. How about that?
In this room.
In this room.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You are the person who should do that.
Anyone that I know, I'm also unfortunately
the expert on. Just the way you talk about it, I'm like, there's no way you're not doing it. And you did it. And it was a delightful. Very good episode. Two. You did two, actually, technically. So
what did it give you a list of the other ones or only gives you the top one? Because I'm like, I would be.
Our top one, unfortunately, is our first one.
Oh, no.
Is the 12 tribes cult.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Yeah.
Which is fine.
That was that was a really good topic.
It was. It was a crazy topic to kick off the podcast in general.
I know. That's true.
Because I remember you were like the next day, you're like, you really came at me with a lot of stuff right away.
We got a lot less serious after
that. A lot less serious after that. That's totally fair. I mean, I'm not saying we won't not do another cult at some point. I've teetered on it, but now I'm a little bit scared about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe, yeah.
I just, that was a crazy story.
It was crazy.
I just think that's a thing that no one would have heard about had you not told that story.
That's true. Yeah. It was, you know, it was just episode number one. We didn't really know what the fuck we were doing. I mean, we.
Absolutely not.
Let's be real. Do we still know what we're doing?
We know what we are doing.
Yeah. That's what we know. We've gotten better. I will say, I think our sound quality has gotten better. We now actually introduce ourselves and our podcast very quickly, which I think is good.
Remembered to do that.
It took us, 60 episodes to get there?
You know what? Who's counting?
Yeah, this is my Spotify Wrapped for the podcast. But yeah, here we are.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Don't be sorry. It just makes me feel like you should do more episodes.
I knew you would say that, and I also am sorry about that.
You're sorry about that. That's fair.
I was like, Spotify fucked me. God damn it, Spotify. God
damn it, Spotify.
Why you gotta call me out like that? I'm just coasting on short tails over here.
I'm just here for the vibes. I'm not here for the work.
Maybe you should do more work.
You're like, here you go, babe.
I'm like, I already feel like I do enough work being alive in 2025.
That's true.
But you've also... I come here to have fun.
Yeah, you've also been like, I could.
I know. Okay, yeah. I know. She's not going to let me live it down. All right.
We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out.
This is her public plea for me to do more work on the pod.
This is not my public plea for me. This is my public plea for other people who have said they really liked that episode and they liked the way that you told the story and the way
I can't tell all stories like that.
No, I'm saying, but they also really liked the way I ask questions.
Oh.
They're like, you asked really good, insightful questions, and like Meg had really good responses.
Ma'am. Okay, fine. You're right. You know what? They're like, we would like to hear a more intelligent person listen to the story. Can we?
You know what's really funny? I went to dinner the other night with some former coworkers who I actually did land survey with. I sent them the Christopher Tompkins episode. I was like, hey, this made me think of you guys. I hope you're doing well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nice. And they're like, oh my God. They're like, you have 85 episodes of this podcast? I was like, yeah. They're like, holy shit. And they listened. They're like, we were actually very impressed, which was really nice.
That's so sweet.
But he was also one of my former boss. He was like, I felt a little weird, a little weirdly intimate. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, that's fair. It's because hear
listening to us talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like, I totally understand. Also because it's a former coworker saying the stupidest shit you've ever heard in the fucking world. So it makes sense.
That is why I want no one I work with to know about this podcast.
No one at my current job knows that I do this. Besides, I have a second job that's not serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Those are our people.
Yeah, those are our people. Restaurant people. Restaurant people are our people. Let's be fair.
They should be everyone's people, but for some reason they're not. And that is...
Yeah.
That is a character flaw.
And you should be fucking tipping them during this holiday season.
Absolutely.
Or every other month, but...
And literally being patient and cool and not annoying.
Speaking of being patient and cool, that worked out for us when we went to Leavenworth.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we were nice to the hostess in Leavenworth, which is like the big holiday location, right? And we were trying to get a seat at the table, and the hostess was like a little old, I don't know, Eastern European woman.
Yes.
Who was like a no, don't fuck with me, bitch, type of woman.
She was intimidating.
She was very intimidating.
She was mean to people.
She was very mean to people, but we were nice to her.
Yes.
And we got a table pretty quickly. Yeah, because
she was like,
it.
It'll be like an hour and a half or something crazy.
And we're like, okay, it's fine. We can hang out. We'll be fine.
And then we waited 10 minutes.
I know. She's like, because you guys were nice.
Come and sit down.
Yeah, she's like, come on.
And I think that there were so many hordes of people, us among them, like rolling through this restaurant that it was like she had no, you have to sort of thin the herd at that point.
Right.
But that's
absolutely
not how most restaurants operate.
No.
That
no,
was
no, no.
a weird situation.
No, I'm not saying like being nice and you're going to get like a table right away, but I'm just saying being nice in general because you should be.
You should be. And it pays off sometimes. Workers,
it does pay off sometimes.
Sometimes.
I did also slip her a 20 at the end of the night.
That
we're leaving.
Is very chic.
Well, because she made a joke about it. She's like, gosh, she's like, I would love a gin and tonic right now.
And
I was like, oh my, I'm like, are you almost done? Like, you can get one soon. She's like, yeah, like end of my shift, man. She's like, I'm getting all the gin and tonics. I'm like, you're gonna go sit in like a bathtub of them. She's like, hell yeah. And I was like,
good for you. Bathtub of them.
Like, we were joking, and I was like, I should just, because you gave me a 20 for something.
I did.
Reason.
It was gas. It was for gas.
Okay. I was like, what am I gonna do with this fucking $20 bill?
Pay it forward.
And they paid it forward. And I was like, here you go. I'm like, this is for your fucking gin and tonics later.
Yeah, that's why it's gangster and cool to have cash. And I had $40 and I gave you 20 of them.
You did, yeah. And that 20 went to the right place.
I used the other 20 to buy a hot dog outside of the comedy show.
Nice.
And that was worth it.
That was that's definitely an ideal spot.
Time to get
up. I was looking for a hot dog angel last night in Seattle. I didn't find one, unfortunately. I know.
It's a shame.
We weren't in the right location.
Not enough people. There needs to be a lot of people before.
You need to be like outside of a stadium or like a club or like a bunch of like bars. We were in kind of the wrong area.
I'm sorry.
Because those late night hot dogs.
If you'd told me you were jonesing for a hot dog, I would have made us hot dogs.
We
for
don't.
Dinner.
No, no, no. I do not need. I don't need a hot dog at 5 p.m. I need a hot dog at midnight.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know.
I'll never make it to midnight. You know that.
I know. You did the other night because we went to the Krampuschlaf.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're not going to talk about that. That was a... Oh, sorry. We can talk about Krampuschlaf, but we are not talking about like our night on the...
Oh, okay. I didn't know that
was...
We
had a great night.
We had a good night. No. I'm bringing up Krampuschlaf because we brought up that we were going.
It was so fun.
The night was fun.
Yeah.
I will say the Krampuschlaf... bit disappointing.
Well, we didn't have to stand in a crowd of people.
No, no.
We had the perfect scenario.
We had a very good seat in the restaurant that the hostess had us at.
Yes!
I think she knew. She put us at the window of the street where the parade, I say,
overlooking
quotes,
the parade. I know it's short. It was a short parade. But the people that were dressed really cool, scary costumes.
I was expecting, I think I was trying to tamper my expectations.
Okay.
I was expecting like the Austria, like the things you've seen online of the videos of the big, like the drumming and like the crazy,
the drumming would have been cool. There was no drumming.
Yeah, they were just kind of like walking down the street.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No. I still had a good time. We had a good night. We enjoyed ourselves.
If I had known that I needed to just tamper your expectations a little bit more. Because I still had a good time, but I had no expectations.
Oh, see, but I always have high expectations for things.
And I really do try not to, like...
I'm very excitable like a golden retriever in that way. I'm like, yes, let's do this. So...
I think that is a lovely trait.
I just break my own damn heart at that point.
I thought it was cool, okay?
No, it was cool. The masks were cool, like the costume. Like, the people who showed up and did the thing were cool.
And it was cool that we managed to see it from, like,
we
the balcony.
We got, like, a very ideal location. We didn't take any pictures, though.
There was glass panes.
I'm just saying, we were like, oh, like, we got to take a bunch of pictures.
Oh, we took no pictures.
Yeah, because it was, like, kind of anticlimactic in the sense that
we took
just...
some pictures from the trip, though. I did. There's pictures of us. Just no, not of the Krampus side. Krampussies.
Oh, that was right. Oh, my God. That was the best part of the night. We decided that a group of Krampus are called Krampussies.
The plural of Krampus.
The plural of Krampus is a Krampussy. I'm sorry. This isn't like a think tank. This is what it is. Okay. This is what it is.
I'm trying to damp my laughter. I think it's so fucking funny. I'm sorry.
We told
the dumbest sense. This is the dumbest sense of humor possible.
No, and this is why my coworker was like, this is, you're kind of weird. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's okay. Now you get to see the real me, not the work me.
It is. We really do be putting it out here.
We really do. Well, yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, definitely a plural of Krampus is Krampussy.
Krampussy for sure.
We told that to her server and she thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, she was there when we came up with it.
She was. And I was like, hey, I'm like, do you want to know what the plural of a Krampus is? She's like, what? I'm like, a Krampussy. She's like, damn, that's good.
She did laugh.
She laughed.
Like, that is perfect. It's
actually perfect. We're like, we know. Thank you. We will not be here all night, but we will be leaving.
I'm allowed to make pussy jokes because I have one. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't do it enough.
So do I.
No, I know. I just mean like other people judging me. My family.
Okay. Oh, got it.
My father.
Didn't your sister like make a joke about the Xanax mommy thing recently?
She called me Xanax mommy. And I was like, I know she was just like trying to make sure I knew that she was listening, but technically you're the Xanax mommy. So
technically, yes, I am technically the Xanax mommy for my dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we can like, all be I did Xanax feel mommy. Like I did feel like I was like exposed. I was like, oh no, she heard it. Yeah, the only way I could get through this is assuming that no one is listening,
right?
Because the idea that anyone would hear me say any of this shit is actually mortifying and completely terrifying.
I mean, there's also a reason why we don't do video because, yeah,
I probably couldn't tolerate that. No, but I do have fun. I come here and have fun. Time.
We are on YouTube though. We're on YouTube in the sense that we're on like YouTube just as a podcast.
Oh, okay.
So you can play us on YouTube and you hear the audio.
Oh.
But there's not like obviously a video because we're not recording ourselves.
So you're saying if we had video.
Then no. I'm not saying that.
Okay, so I
don't really want to do that. Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine. But because we're on YouTube, we're also on YouTube Music. So we have a new platform for you to listen if you want to do that.
Pitch it, sister.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today? Wait, hold on. Happy 2025, everybody.
Happy 2025.
Happy end of 2025.
Right. This is, I think, coming out like mid-December. So you're either having Yuletide cheer or perhaps some Yuletide rage.
Okay,
depending on your holiday
maybe
season.
Both in the
maybe a little
day.
Bit both, and that's completely valid and fair. Because let's be real.
It's 2025.
It's 2025. End of the year. Also, just I feel like it's very busy. No matter what, no matter where you go, I feel like the parking lots are just all full.
You know, it's Jesus true. There's Christ. People everywhere.
There's everything more takes people. Longer. I swear to God.
I agree.
And it's like, where did you all come from? Where are
I don't
you
know,
the rest
I
of the
know
year?
I know we're all broke. So like, why right. are we all out here in each other's space, not
I
at
know.
Home?
I agree. But speaking of Yuletide, cheer, and rage.
What are we talking about tonight?
This is my Sigyo.
Sorry. Okay, what are we talking about tonight?
What are we talking about? No, all right. Okay. Long before Christmas was a cozy holiday with gifts, lights, and Hallmark movies, winter celebrations were rooted in fear, death, and survival. December was the coldest, darkest, most dangerous time of the year across Europe. Food stores were low, storms were constant, and days were reduced to only a few hours of light. Many cultures developed winter monsters and supernatural figures to explain the season's hardships. These beings punished laziness, frightened misbehaving children, enforced moral codes, or symbolized the death and rebirth of the sun. Ghosts were believed to roam freely, witches traveled through the night sky, and the veil between the worlds was at its thinnest. This episode looks at some of the most iconic and widely recognized Christmas and winter folklore figures. Some to explain darkness, create order, and survive long winters. So much like our indigenous folklore.
Which was so good.
We are doing Christmas wintertime folklore.
This is going to be so good. I'm psyched. I'm very excited. Okay, cool.
So starting off, we will talk about Yule.
Okay.
That was like a Yule, Yuletide, Yule Rage. My Sigu.
Yeah.
I guess if I have to explain it, it's not very good, right?
You could cut this.
I could. Right, okay. Right. Yeah. All right, so Yule is one of the oldest winter festivals in the world. So the word appears in Old Germanic and Norse sources and is closely tied to the winter solstice, which is generally usually around Christmas. I think this year it's the 21st. Many modern Christmas traditions are rooted in Yule long before Christianity was introduced to Northern Europe itself. So Yule was celebrated during the darkest stretch of the year when daylight was at its shortest, like I mentioned. It's often marked the symbolic death of the old year and the rebirth of the sun.
Okay.
It's also a time for feasting, ritual fires, and calling on spirits or gods for protection. Very pagan.
Yes.
Very pagan. So Yule
Fest. They really did the best parties.
I know. We need to, like, I want to go to a Yule party, totally. Honestly. So Yule festivities could last 12 days or longer, aligning with the modern 12 days of Christmas.
Cool.
So it's usually December 23rd, 21st, till January.
Okay.
Like, 2nd or 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
take funny. A little break. Take a little rest.
Take a little break, yeah. So some Yuletide traditions, I will say. So some evergreen branches, wreaths, and trees symbolize life surviving winter, because evergreens don't die.
It's true.
They're not deciduous, right? And there was candles and bonfires were used to call back the sun during the solstice darkness. So bringing the light back into the world was a main kind of tradition with Yule. And then spirits were believed to walk freely in the winter during the darkest time of the year. I think we kind of tapped on that a little bit with our last episode with the Victorian Christmas ghost stories.
Yeah.
Many Christmas customs have roots in Yule itself. So the Yule log, which is meant to stay burning to honor the sun and try to encourage it to return, is a very old Yule tradition. There's also feast or dinner gatherings, which we all do. Gift exchanges is also another big part of Yule.
And this is to get the sun to come back?
This is
the purpose of all these rituals are to...
It's not necessarily get the sun to come back. It's to celebrate the sun coming back?
It's
to celebrate... So a big part of it is to try to encourage the sun to come back.
Which happens on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
The days stop getting shorter.
Right.
And then they start getting longer.
Right. We're trying to encourage the sun to come back. And then, so like the feast or the dinner gatherings was often used to celebrate any of the gods or spirits that they worshipped or admired, like trying to like an offering, for lack of a better word.
Okay. We're starting to come out of winter, mm-hmm. which isn't true, but.
No. I think it's like this is the darkest time of the year. And we need to celebrate the gods to help us get through the winter.
Okay.
That makes sense, kind of generally.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's like kind of like the gift exchanges and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So there's also evergreen tree decorations.
The Christmas tree,
right? Wow. It's very pagan in itself. There's also the 12-day celebrations, like I just mentioned, which is generally like some feasts, some gift exchange, some Yule log burning, some bonfire burning. It's all just trying to celebrate the long winter ahead and like trying to appease whatever god was around. It's a very broad generalization, I will say, because like everything else, it's changes from region to region.
Sure, totally.
Yeah. So winter ghost stories still present in Victorian Christmas, like we talked about last week. And with like traditions like a Christmas story, we're also kind of carry over from Yule itself. So it's all deeply ingrained in paganism, which is funny because now it's a Christian holiday, for lack of a better word. And like the birth of Jesus, I'm not going to lie, makes no goddamn sense.
Sorry, just him being born to a virgin? No. The time of it.
The timeline, like,
the takeover
of it. Like, it makes more sense to follow the seasons and the solstice and stuff.
Where was I? I was listening to something recently. I swear I saw a TikTok something that someone was talking about how the church adopted, like, they made a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that the pagans would be like, okay, fine, like, we'll adopt Christianity.
Yeah.
Because so you can keep all your celebrations. We're mm-hmm. going to like market this religion
right
to you people
as and like it's probably part of it,
giving you a reason.
Yeah.
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 But now we just think it's Jesus's birthday.
Yeah.
He's the son. It actually all fits to me.
God.
They're all the same.
Okay.
So, except the virgin birth part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a problem.
That's a little weird.
Uh-huh.
Poor fucking Mary. Okay. So Yule was a mix of celebration and fear, honoring survival while acknowledging the harshest part of the year, which helps explain why so many winter folklore figures are monsters, witches, and spirits themselves.
Tell me more.
Okay, so the first little winter spirit folklore figure we have is the Tomte, or the Nisse, is the unpredictable household spirit.
Okay.
So I think it's called...
Can you spell it?
T-O-M-T-E. Tomte. Tomte. Tomte?
I have no idea. Okay. Where's it from?
Sweden.
I have no idea how those people speak.
Yeah. So, right? I don't know. This, or it's like Nisse is from Norway or Denmark. So that's kind of the same region, but mm-hmm. So it's a small gnome-like household spirit associated with the winter and the Christmas season. So he protects farms, animals, and families, but it also is very temperamental and easily offended.
Oh, so we must behave.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? He sounds like he has a reason to be. He's doing a lot.
So they are said to live in the darkest corner of your home and generally stay away from the humans in the home, but will come out at night and help with household chores. If they are respected.
I would respect the fuck out of him.
It's like honestly. It's like your introverted roommate. Yeah. But this leaves you alone.
But it's cute and tiny.
Yes, I do have a picture.
Oh my God.
So a tomte expects to be respected by cleanliness and order in the home. Uh-huh. And the most important rule, he must be given a bowl of porridge topped with butter on Christmas Eve.
That's the least you could do.
That's the honestly. Least you could do for someone's cleaning your house.
Every day. He comes out every mm-hmm. night. Just like and friends with your pets and stuff. Right? Stokes is. The fire.
Right.
Give him a raise. Give him porridge twice a year.
Maybe a little brown sugar in there.
I know.
Maybe a little cinnamon. Sound,
it did sound very bland.
It did.
It's savory.
Yeah, porridge is a weird one.
I would prefer grits. Any porridge consistently. Sorry. If it's not like grits. If it doesn't need to be cheesy, mm-hmm. anything that is a porridge consistency, I would prefer it to be sweet.
Yeah, totally. Cinnamon. I always think of, was it malto meal?
Except congee is sort of like porridge. What is malto meal?
It's like the box, like porridge, oh, basically.
Like a little breakfast.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I always put like a shit ton of brown sugar and butter in that thing whenever you see it.
I think you're, what is this? Tommy? Tommy?
Tomte.
Tomte. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound the way Swedish people would say it, but...
I know. Tomte? I think it might be tomte.
Okay, I am definitely going to Google how to pronounce that later, but he would love you.
Yeah, I did do this research like 2 weeks ago,
you
and
did.
I probably do remember how to say it back then. Pass me knows
if
how to
you
say
think
it.
It's tomte,
I think it's tomte, right. Yeah. But, okay, so if you don't leave him a bowl of porridge on Christmas Eve...
Oh, what does he do?
His retaliation is tangled horse manes.
Oh, okay. He's just like, oh, I'm just not going to do that thing that you wanted. Right.
Missing tools.
He probably left it where you put it.
But this is where you escalate. Okay. Injured or dead livestock.
Okay. He's getting a little scary.
He's getting a little scary.
Oh, now he's a little menacing.
Yeah. Household accidents.
Oh.
Can lead to many things, right?
Oh, no. I fear I'm going to have to break up with him.
And in extreme tales, death of people themselves.
Oh, no.
It's a little bit dramatic.
Terrifying.
He's a little bit dramatic.
But did any of those people deserve to die?
I mean, if they weren't respecting the tomte in their home, maybe.
I don't know. I need to know more.
Yeah. So while this is very dramatic, people did try to get a tomte to have in their home.
Oh, they wanted it. Okay.
Because if they were treated correctly, they could bring good luck and fortune. And also, I guess this is like a...
Well, it sounds he doesn't want much.
This is like a gift you give to people when they when they buy a
I've
house.
Seen those.
I know.
Oh my
I see
God,
them
I didn't
everywhere.
Expect
That's
it to...
what these are like.
It is a giant hat with a nose and a beard.
Right. Exactly.
That's what it is.
Exactly.
But that's, oh my God, they're so cute.
They're very cute.
And if all you have to do is cook him a meal once, my God.
Once a year on Christmas Eve? I wonder if that's like where the origin of Santa and cookies came from.
I don't know. Or similar, anyway.
Very similar, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the tomte stories reflect the delicate balance of survival in the Scandinavian farms. While a single mistake could threaten a family's winter stability, over time the tomte blended with Santa Claus traditions.
Oh!
But... still retained events of his unpredictable folkloric personality itself. So I was right. It does merge
How
with Santa.
Cute. I like him.
I know. Right?
But we need to talk to the ones that are killing people. We need to have
he needs to bring it down a notch.
We need to relocate him. He needs a new family.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, chill, bro. I guess there's also various traditions where people will build like a little like home in like the darkest corner of their house for them.
That's so cute.
And like, have their kids do it, like a build, like a little tomte hut. Like, it's very cute. It's very cute.
That is adorable.
I know, I'm going to have to start buying people a little tomte for their house when they move to
so
a new place.
Fucking random and funky and weird. And that's cool.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So our next Christmas folklore is from Wales, and it's called the Merry Lind. And it's the ghost horse of winter.
A ghost horse?
Uh-huh. This one's fucking crazy looking.
I'm already a little scared. I'm not going to lie.
No, it's crazy.
Okay.
It seems kind of fun, though. It kind of aligns with Krampus.
They're all kind of fun.
I know, right? So the Merry Lind is one of the most visually striking winter traditions in Europe itself. Oh. It involves a group of revelers carrying a horse skull draped in cloth, decorated with ribbons and bells, often fitted with glowing eyes itself, like LEDs. Little
Krampus-like. Mm-hmm.
The skeletal horse visits homes during the Christmas and New Year season. The name's origin is believed to mean gray mare in Welsh. So this is...
Oh, okay.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
The horse skeleton. I fear we have talked about a horse skeleton before.
Snippy the horse.
Yes. Okay. I was like, ah, I recall the information. Mildly. It's scary.
The horse skull
isn't... I don't like
it's wild.
It.
It's wild.
It's too big. It's almost like we're looking at their skull. There's very little else on a horse's head except
I know.
This.
It's like literally just covered in skin and fur.
But it's menacing.
It is menacing.
Okay.
All right. Kind of metal. It's kind of metal. It's,
oh, honestly, I thought the Chumpty was metal too. Like baby metal.
Right. So this tradition is tied to another winter tradition called wassailing. Probably said that wrong. We're just going to move on. Where a group of men and women go to house sharing drinks like cider and singing, aka caroling.
That is fun. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Drunk. It's like karaoke, dude. It's like mobile karaoke.
But then you have to like come to people's house and karaoke. It's wild. It's wild.
That's true. It's only fun if everyone thinks it's fun.
Yeah.
And is also drinking.
Right. If you're like knocking on someone's door and they're karaoke. Like, do you like, I guess you stand there awkwardly? I don't know.
I don't know why people, listen, I don't know why anyone would carol. Right now?
Right. So there was often a barter of accepting a drink from the wassailing bowl in exchange for a small gift. So the carolers would show up.
With the booze?
With booze, but there would be like the exchange.
Wait, or do you have the wassailing bowl or do they have the bowl? Tell me, sorry.
So the carolers had the wassailing bowl, but they're like, if you want a drink, you have to give us a gift.
You got to give us a gift.
You got to tip me.
For this booze. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Fun.
So the Mari Lund would be a part of this group itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Mari Lund approaches a home and engages the occupants in a Christmas rap battle, is the best way I can explain it.
Okay, go on.
Called a Puanco. And the idea is that the people outside are trying to come in, like the carolers are trying to come in with the Mari Lund, and the homeowners are trying to like basically rap back with excuses of why they can't come in. So what's like a, it's like a Christmas rap about like, I want to come in, you can't come in. And they keep going back and forth.
Okay.
It's crazy.
This is weird.
This is weird.
I don't understand why you would do this, but okay, I'm listening.
It's a tradition. I don't know what to tell you.
It sounds like a drunk one.
It sounds like a very drunk Wales winter tradition.
Okay, go on.
So if the homeowners fail to out-rhyme the Mari Lund, aka...
Oh, it's got a rhyme?
Yeah. You gotta rhyme. It's a rap battle, dude.
Oh.
This is 8 Mile at Christmas.
They're singing at each other.
They're rapping. They're
Christmas
rapping.
Rhyming.
They're Christmas rhyming at each other.
Oh, it's, you know what it sounds like? White. Now
this is a 8 Mile Christmas rap battle with a fucking horse skull.
Listen, don't disrespect Eminem. This is whiter than that.
Lose yourself. Okay. So the, okay. Where was I? Okay, so if the homeowner fails...
I'm sorry, I just didn't fully appreciate it, but now I get it. It's weird. It's getting
really... It's very weird, but like it also could be fun.
It's sounding less fun if I have to sing at you.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay, carry on.
So if the homeowner fails to out-rap the Mari Lund and the group itself... The ghost horse is allowed to enter the home and cause mischief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know what? I guess it is in good fun. The ghost horse do?
So this includes singing, dancing, drinking, and just harmless chaos.
Sorry, it's just a drunk person.
It's a drunk person with a horse skull running around your house.
We've been like waffling. I'm like, no, it totally makes sense. At the end of the day, this is everyone in the town is wasted and having yeah. a good. Okay,
everyone's drunk. Everyone's rap battling with
fine.
A fucking horse skull.
It's dark. It's been dark for
right?
weeks.
You lose your shit a little bit mm-hmm. in Wales. It sounds like
the Welsh are fun.
I know. Gamers. You know, like, I respect it. So this tradition likely stems from the ancient pagan midwinter rituals involving death, rebirth, and the community bonding, although the origins are not completely known.
Okay, community bonding.
Right, knocking on doors during one of the darkest times of the year. Let's have a rap battle. Let's have some fun.
Stay connected.
Let's get a little drunk, you know. Most scholars and historians agree the skeletal horse symbolizes winter's harshness, while its eventual entry into the home represents light, warmth, and renewal itself. It's all very connected to the solstice.
The solstice.
It makes more sense to me than fucking Christmas.
Totes.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Mary Lund was pushed out of Christmas traditions for a long time because of the leaders of the Christian church trying to wipe out the winter traditions that had more pagan origins itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun, they said.
I know. Too much fun. Mm-hmm. Too much fun. Not enough.
Too much community.
Right. Too much community. Too much fun. Not enough shame.
Yep.
Yeah. But she has undergone a revival in Wales and is now a beloved part of the cultural traditions and has been referenced in pop culture in games like Dungeons and Dragons. She's a character. Cool. In Dungeons and Dragons. She only speaks in rhymes and riddles, which kind of makes sense. Like, I've never played D&D. I don't know.
I was like, I don't know.
But it seems like a fun character. And there's also a novel called The Silver on the Tree by Susan Cooper, where the Mary Lund is an undead unicorn and a protector of a magical sword in a mythical sunken land off the coast of Wales. Where's the Netflix series?
You know, that sounds... It just took me to a place of like, we used to write stories like this. I know. Have to write stories like this as kids. And I'm like, I guess that could be your job.
Right.
You grow up. Like, I would never read something like that, but I'm like,
I'd watch that series.
That's fucking cool.
I'd watch that series. Like, it's very Chronicles of Narnia.
Uh-huh.
Right?
God, I loved.
I know, me too. And like, I feel like that sounds cool as shit, for lack of a better word. So the Mary Lund is still a major part of winter and Christmas celebrations throughout Wales to this day.
Cute.
Yeah.
God, it just makes me want to travel all these folklore
stories. I know. Mm-hmm. Like, on travel during, like, the solstice and mm-hmm. all the solstices. Solstice? Soul pussy?
Solstice. I don't know. We were on the same page there, yeah?
Yeah, we looked at each other like, yeah, we know. Stupid. I'm so stupid.
Okay.
All right. So the next mythical folkloric creature is from German Austria, which is Perkta, which is the belly-slitting winter witch.
Sorry, belly-slitting?
Slitting.
What is slitting?
Slit? Like,
she slits your belly? Oh!
But belly-slitting is funny.
I was like, what are you saying? Oh, sorry. She's a witch? A winter witch?
She is the belly-slitting winter witch.
Oh, she's a bad bitch.
She's a bad bitch.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, so Perkta, and sometimes she's also called Berkta with a B instead of a P, is a winter figure in the Alpine regions of Germany and Austria. So she is associated with the 12 days of Christmas, mainly from December 25th to January 6th. And she's appearing as either a beautiful woman dressed in white or a ghastly witch with a long concealed knife.
Hey, maybe it depends on how you present yourself to her.
Exactly. I think that's part of it, right?
So throughout the... and I'll be nice.
Yeah. There was a... what was the one in the indigenous folklore? Very similar, right?
Yes.
Throughout the 12 days of Christmas, she will come in and inspect your home for cleanliness and order.
Oh, it's weird how these white people really...
they really want things clean.
Need someone to come and check your shit. It's...
be like, if we don't clean your fucking house, I'm going to slit your belly open.
It is smelling a little German. Right.
Perkta rewards hardworking children and adults with silver coins.
Okay. She's going
to... right? She'll pay you.
That's cool.
However, those who are lazy or disrespect the household itself, especially those who fail to complete spinning and weaving, face a terrible punishment.
Oh, no. I fear she wouldn't like me very much.
Right. So Perkta is said to cut open their stomachs, remove their organs, and replace them with straw.
Oh, no.
It's crazy. That's a fucking horror movie.
I don't think you survive that.
No,
that sounds painful.
Perkta enforces discipline and reminds families that neglecting their duties could mean starvation. So it's a deeply ingrained, like, you have to make sure you do your stuff. Otherwise, we're going to die. But also Perkta's going to kill you.
We are threatening you to be afraid.
Pretty much.
Of this monster so that you help us do the housework so we actually don't die.
Exactly.
You know what? If you've got to manipulate your kids,
I guess you got to do
stuff. Right? Yeah.
Perkta's processions, also known as Perktan Lof, feature mass figures representing Perkta's followers, which are like demons. And they still take place around Alpine villages. And this is not a Krampus one. This is a similar Perkta one.
Those are her demons? Uh-huh. Oh, that thing is gnarly looking. We just have to go. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to see. You need
I to am, truly like, scared. Yeah. Like, the my dad's side of the family is from this area. So I'm like, it would be cool.
That thing is gnarly. Fucking scary.
I know, right?
She's a mean lady. She's a real mean lady.
I know. This is another one. Sorry, I forgot.
Do not apologize.
That looks like black phone shit.
Honestly, I'm going to say he could get it.
This
feels inappropriate, but I think...
It reminds me of the black phone.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yep. All right. So that leads us... Do you need to say anything else?
No.
Okay. You've said your piece. He could get it. It's fucking gnarly.
It's so embarrassing.
Okay, so the last
one. Who put in at this point, I guess.
I guess.
I'm sorry.
I'll let you.
I'm sorry.
Are you good? Do you need to keep going? Sometimes I'm like, I need to pause longer to give Meg a moment.
It's true. Sometimes, but like, you have to cut it because, like, God, not everybody takes this long. They're like, get to the fucking story, please. My God, it's just constantly interrupting.
No, that's your point. That's the whole point. You're here for the vibes. Okay, so the last Christmas folklore we're going to
We wrapped it up with her.
No, we're going to one more location.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to Iceland.
Wait, but we wrapped it up with. What was her name?
Gerpta? Perkta.
Perkta. I kind of almost got it.
You kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's like a burp a little bit, but yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of that, like, Perkta itself. It's
okay, so she rolls with a mean crew. She gets
entwined with Krampus a lot.
The lady Krampus? Yeah,
Perkta kind of gets entwined with Krampus, so it's hard to find specific information about Perkta itself.
Okay, so now we're going to Iceland.
Yes, so now we're going to Iceland, cool. Which is my...
Bucket list?
These are my favorites.
Oh, I'm sorry. I knew you want to go there so bad.
I know. No, it's also my favorite, like, folklore.
Oh, okay.
That I've researched so far. So we have Gryla, the Yule Cat, and the Yule Lads.
The Yule Lads?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Iceland's folklore is deeply shaped by its brutal winters and isolated geography. It's a fucking island, for lack of a better word. So food scarcity, darkness, and superstition wove together to create some of the world's creepiest holiday legends. So the centerpiece of Icelandic winter folklore is a monstrous family. So there's Gryla, the winter witch, the Yule Cat, which is her, like, little companion, and the Yule Lads, which are her children.
Oh, this is a crew.
Right.
Okay.
So.
I love how, like, many, like, ladies are involved.
I know. But one thing was, it's like a fucking witch.
Oh.
You know? Hmm. Maybe we should just all be witches. That's, I don't know. Bad. Okay. So we're going to start with Gryla, the child-eating Christmas witch.
Okay. Is it Hansel and Gretel?
A little Hansel and Gretel,
but,
it feels.
But they're not from Iceland.
No. Hansel and Gretel is German.
Probably.
I feel like the Brothers Grimm.
Mm-hmm. Are they German?
I feel like they're German.
No clue.
I could be wrong.
Austrian? No idea.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Okay, so Gryla appears in Icelandic texts as early as the 1200s.
Wow.
So she was not originally tied to Christmas itself, obviously, because Christmas is a
didn't
very...
Didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
Sorry, in the 1200s.
In the 1200s, yeah. But she is tied to general winter terror in the harsh, unforgiving landscape of Iceland itself during the winter times. So over centuries, she has become a seasonal enforcer, a monstrous witch who punishes misbehaving children at Christmas time or the winter solstice. So she is said to collect whispers about the children who have misbehaved throughout the year.
Oh.
And then winter comes and it's time to collect the children who have been bad.
I'm like, who's really collecting the bad children? These are all threats. I've never seen a bad child collected. We all get gifts every year.
I know. I'm like, right? Can you imagine?
I know.
Like, unfortunately, yeah.
Call them.
Frank Gum, bitch. So Gryla is described as a towering troll with hooves, horns, and tangled hair. Anne has a giant sack for abducting children.
She put you in her kangaroo patch?
She's putting her fucking, like, her little carry-on.
She's
got, like, a big sack.
Oh, over the shoulder.
It's very Santa Claus.
I don't know why I immediately thought kangaroo.
Oh.
That's
weird. No, it's the giant sack for abducting children. It does not say it's a pouch.
Lame.
Sorry. So she listens outside for homes for crying or misbehaving kids.
Crying?
Or anyone who complains, whines, or refuses to work or acts out risks being taken and eaten by Gryla herself.
The parents are like, listen,
like, shut the
if
fuck
you cry
up one more goddamn time.
This is a 16 by 16 box. And there are 14 of us in this fucking place. So if you don't shut the fuck up.
We'll just booch the Gryla. We've got plenty of kids.
It's she can fine. Hear you
she can from hear out there. You, you dumb asshole.
I get it.
I do. These are just like parents who are fed up and totally are done with it, right?
Telling the most diabolical story.
She feels more like the anti-Santa Claus than Krampus does to me, personally. She has the sack. She takes bad kids.
That's true.
She's hearing 24/7.
And right? She's got a team of little
fucking Yule lads, right?
Yule lads. They well, have to be gay.
Doing a dance. In my head, yes. That sounds great. So she carries the children home that are bad to her mountain cave, where she cooks them into a stew.
Oh, no. We don't like that. I don't know. Okay.
And then Gryla has also had multiple husbands.
Where is she getting a husband from? What kind of husband is she like? She sounds gnarly.
I know.
Looking. But hooves?
Two of them, she's allegedly murdered and ate because they were boring.
They were boring. She's like, I murdered children.
Yeah. You were not doing it for me anymore. I don't know why. Like,
if you're not trying to take over the world.
Right. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I met Jeff Bezos. So we're done.
Are you saying Lauren Sanchez is fucking Gryla?
No, I'm just saying that this bitch would want a Jeff Bezos.
She probably would. Are we saying it's Lauren Sanchez? We're not. Not we saying that.
We need to cut it all. We have to.
It's like it's sued by Amazon. We will get so sued that we will literally, I don't know, be Gryla, I think. We'll have hooves in fucking mangled hair and we'll live in a cave in Iceland.
Haunting them.
Yeah. So she's also the mother of the Yule lads and the community of the Yule Cat, which we'll talk about after a break.
Ooh!
Have you ever seen a shadow linger in the corner of your eye? Seen a flashing light dart across the sky? Have you ever wished upon a candle to make your wish come true? I'm sure you've told a haunted tale or two. Are you interested in learning the pagan ways, witchcraft, grimoires, candles await? Have you ever seen the living dead and stood still instead of fled? Cryptics are fun, but the universe has our eye. The stars align, shows us our signs, and we're here to discuss the divine. Welcome to Moon Brews, a supernatural podcast hosted by yours truly, Haley.
Okay, so the Yule Cat or Jolokaturium. Yeah, we didn't just look that up.
It's such a long word.
It's a long fucking word to describe a goddamn cat. Is also known as the man-eating Christmas cat.
A man-eating Christmas cat.
Yep. The Yule Cat is massive. Massive. Often described as larger than the house itself. And it's said to resemble the Norwegian forest cat. Also, to me, it resembles Stella.
Your cat. Black?
Yeah.
It's black?
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't think. Okay, I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
That you won't be able to answer because this makes no sense to me. Are there a lot of cats?
In Iceland?
On the island of Iceland. I have where no the white idea. People. I'm like, I wouldn't think so.
Maybe.
I would think dog things. Cats, I don't know.
Cats seems are pretty like resilient.
I know, but it seems like cats come from warmer climates. I don't know.
I don't know.
So that's weird. And why would they be black? Because it's snowy and cold. Although Iceland has black beaches, maybe.
I don't know.
I have notes.
So the Yule Cat lives in the cave along with Gryla as her companion.
Cool.
So she just eats kids and hands out their cat. And this is the images.
Oh, it does look like it my looks cat. Like
your fucking, yeah. It looks like your cat. It looks like Stella.
It does. It looks like Binks from...
Yes. Every black furry cat you've seen, uh-huh. It's a Yule cat.
Yes.
Just very, very big.
Well, that does explain why Stella's such a biatch.
She is actually a Yule cat, just tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is a Norwegian forest cat.
Oh, that is a beautiful cat.
That's a very beautiful cat.
Wow.
This story is directly tied to Iceland's historical wool industry itself.
Okay.
Yeah. Finishing wool production before the winter was essential for survival itself. So clothing was a reward for completing work, and the Yule cat served as motivation and a threat itself.
Yeah. Okay.
So its rule was simple. Anyone who does not receive a new clothing item made out of wool before Christmas Eve will be eaten, especially children themselves.
Oh my God. All of these stories. We must make our children work for us.
Yeah.
For survival.
Right? We need to fucking all work.
We are scaring them.
We're going to die. Yes. You can't convince them. Otherwise, you're like, be like, listen, like this fucking cat's going to come eat you if you don't do your job.
And I think it works.
I think it does work.
That's why the story still.
We're fucking given the fucking Santa.
That's true.
You know, narrative.
Santa like, will leave you cold.
It's less fucking dramatic.
Uh-huh.
But it's still the same goddamn thing. If you're not good, damn. If you don't behave.
It's too bad we're so emotionally mature now and we're not torturing our children like this anymore, but you know what? I think we'd all be better off.
Right. I agree. The cat itself is mentioned in modern times in an Icelandic book called Christmas is Coming. That's a sounds like a threat a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. In 1932, but its origins are much older from Nordic folklore itself. It kept workers on task and ensured households completing spinning and weaving before winter storms hit and reinforced the importance of preparing for the season.
Yeah.
It is often a Christmas tradition in Iceland to give everyone in your family socks either the day before Christmas or Christmas Eve to protect you from the Yule cat, which I didn't know.
I love everyone getting gets... socks.
I know. Socks are a great gift. They as are. An adult.
Yeah.
Like I love a good pair of socks. So that is the Yule cat itself. So the next is in this little family.
The Yule boys?
The Yule lads. And they are 13 mischievous Christmas trolls.
Okay, like the Snow White. Oh, there are 7 of those. She's got 13.
She's got 13. Sometimes, in some fucking stories, it was 22.
Pissy.
Yeah.
Lady.
With the 2 husbands that she eat. She eaten.
She's like, you know what? You can't give any more kids.
And you're like, I'm just going to eat you. It's fine. You're useless now.
The insects do it.
Right. So the Yule lads are a group of 13 troll brothers who visit Icelandic homes one by one on the 13 nights leading up to Christmas or winter solstice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So originally they were frightening home invaders who stole food and terrorized families themselves. But in the 20th century, they were softened into mischievous but mostly harmless tricksters who sometimes would give gifts to well-behaved children, and they would give them like chocolate or fruit. But they would also give the more mischievous children a potato.
A potato?
A potato.
I guess at least you can eat it.
Right? And if the children continued to misbehave, that's when Grilo would come and eat them.
Oh, no. Okay.
So the potato
was a warning.
The potato was a warning.
Uh-huh.
A potato warning, yes. As you would say.
But Grilo's, give him a potato. I like my stew with right? starch.
Like, listen, like, here's a potato. Next time, you're going to be in the stew with the potato.
Bring the potato with you.
Right? Like, the potato is part of the stew.
Yeah.
If you continue to fuck up. So the potato.
What a diabolical threat.
The potato is 100% a threat. I love it.
It's like giving someone a shovel to dig their own grave. Right? It's like, keep it up. Come on.
Come on.
Take the shovel.
Let's go, baby.
Do it again. Yeah. Do it again. And then the potato goes with you.
Right.
I can't. But I like potatoes in my stew, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a requirement. Even if it's going to go over rice, and even if it's a Moroccan stew and it has chickpeas in it, I'm also putting a potato.
I feel like that's very common.
Is it? Well, listen. It's a lot of different starches.
Whatever. A potato, like, we need to stop slandering the potato as, like, a starchy... Oh, it's a vegetable. It's a goddamn
diet
vegetable.
Culture. Thank you.
Right?
And a chickpea is legume?
A bean?
It's legume. I actually think they're the same. Are they not the same?
No. A lentil's a legume. which is different than a bean. I think they're relatives. I think they're cousins.
It's actually dumb of me to be having this conversation with you because I actually am a person that ought to know this.
I don't know. I
can tell you. And you do. I should. Be fair.
We both should. But we don't.
Not just. Okay. We should cut this.
I think we need like a cut counter for this fucking episode.
This episode. We'll nix it and we'll do it again.
We will not. I almost wanted to redo the last week's episode.
Really?
The Victorian Christmas one.
Why?
I don't know.
It wasn't hitting right?
It didn't feel like a banger. Oh. And like when I like we were done, I was like, oh, I'm like, I don't know if that was really good. But I'm not going to because that's crazy. We just need to like chill.
Okay. Okay.
Because eventually.
It's true. That look at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my growth for 2025.
Look at you. Okay. I'm proud of you.
So each Yule lad has a specific behavior or trick tied to their name.
Okay.
Which
they're like the seven dwarves.
Yes. And these are very obvious. I'm not going to lie. So there is Sheepcoat Claude, who pesters sheep.
His full name is Sheepcoat Claude?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought that was three different ones.
No, okay. Sheepcoat Claude, he pesters the sheep.
Okay.
And then there's Gully Gawk.
What does he do?
Steals milk.
Didn't expect that. Okay. Okay. Go on.
There is Stubby.
You stub your toe?
That's
good. I was like, what do you do?
No, but he is short and he steals pans.
He steals pans?
He steals pans.
That's fucking rude, but he's, I'm hungry.
Do you want to steal my Le Creuset?
Literally, Dutch we need oven, these.
Bitch.
To survive right? out here. We probably don't have a surplus of pans.
I know, right?
Okay.
There's also spoon liquor.
And these all sound so naughty.
He licks your goddamn spoons.
I don't like. Ew!
It's so rude. It's so like fucking rude.
Down the drawer?
He licks your fucking clean spoons.
I love that one.
Dick.
That is truly fucking nice. Okay, cool. These are Icelanders. What are these? What do they call them?
Icelanders, I think.
Icelanders?
Yeah. Sounds right.
Twisted. Twisted fucker.
Next, we have Pot Scraper, who steals your leftovers.
That's actually, to me, that sometimes it's useful.
Sometimes it's useful, right? Yeah.
You can have him. If you're hungry, bro, you can have some. It's fine. I'll share.
You can just ask. You don't have to steal. Yeah. Jesus. And then we have bowl licker.
The same. Okay.
Who slurps up remnants of food in bowls.
Oh, okay. You can do that too. That's fine.
And that's Coleman. That's everyone's dog. They're like, just lick it up. It's fine.
You can have it.
There's Door Slammer.
Oh.
Who slams doors at night, which that's is a little scary.
Oh, those. A lot of people got those. We've talked about a lot of episodes mm-hmm. where people had those.
Mm-hmm. Then there's a skier gobbler who steals your skier, which is like a yogurt.
Oh, okay.
It's the Icelandic yogurt. You see, like, there's a
steals brand. It?
Yeah.
Hmm. I wonder if that's what they say, like, when it goes bad.
Oh, he got
the
him.
The lad.
Maybe, right. There's sausage swiper. There's a lot of jokes right there. Who takes your sausage.
I'm not intentionally not.
You like aka your mom. Your mom is a sausage swiper.
Your mom. Why would your mom take your sausage?
It's a dick joke, Meg.
I know. Your mom?
Yeah, because your mom's a hoe. That's the
oh,
joke.
Oh, your mom's a hoe. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's a sausage swiper. I thought him, like she was taking my sausage.
No, no.
I was like, my no. mom's a
hoe? No, your mom's a hoe. She swipes sausage.
Fucking your mom's a hoe.
Your mom's a hoe. She's a sausage swiper.
Yes.
That would be what I would use in my Mary Lynn rap battle. Your mom's a hoe. With her sausage swiping.
Your mother's a sausage swiper.
Yeah. You're a dirty fucking sausage swiper. We need to make that a thing. Okay.
Next we need to make that a thing. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Next we have window peeper.
I don't like that.
Who looks in your windows.
Do not do
in
that.
The night.
Don't.
That's fucking scary.
We don't like that.
Excuse me. No. Excuse me. And then we have doorway sniffer.
Oh.
Who has a huge nose. And smells your bread. Like, takes all the smell from your bread.
He takes the smell from your bread?
Uh-huh. The big ass nose just sucks it all
out. That one's weird.
That one's weird.
I don't like
it. I would argue they're all fucking weird. Let's be real.
The spoon liquor is amazing.
Spoon liquor is fucking diabolical.
I don't like
it. But you also kind of want to invite him to your party. Because he's kind of ridiculous. You're like,
he seems menacing.
Right? Look just at this for the idiot, hell of it. Right? Oh, exactly. Goodness. And then we have a meat hook who steals your meat.
Okay. I think all these things are codes for it went bad. So we had to like
maybe
make sense of it.
Okay. And then there's candle stealer who steals your candles. Oh. Which is
the wind. That's the wind.
That is the wind.
Wind bacteria can solve a lot of these.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
This is before they understood those things.
Sure.
It was that lint liquor that got that whole
like. You talking about the Orbit gum commercial? Yeah. You call a Cody Queen, you lint liquor. Yeah. Great. That is the top of commercials.
It's true.
Yeah. Top notch. Okay. So all three of these characters' stories reveal Iceland's relationship with food scarcity, household order, and livestock, and the winter tourists themselves.
Oof,
rough, like you said,
rough life.
Food scarcity is a big thing. Across these countries, the folklore reflects shared themes. Winter was dangerous, harsh, and unforgiving, and these legends embodied those fears. Monsters like Gryla punished misbehavior. Spirits like the Tomte enforced respect for the home. Figures like Perkta ensured winter chores were completed, and traditions like Mary Lind helped communities bond during the darkest nights. Yule sits at the heart of many of these traditions, marking the turning point of winter and the slow return of the sun. Together, these figures show how cultures use fear, story, community, and the ritual to survive long winter nights themselves. Mm-hmm. These tales have persisted because they speak to universal experiences. Hardship, resilience, and the thin line between light and the darkness at year's end.
Dude.
And that is Christmas folklore in Yule.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have to say, I am feeling it as...
I know.
It is dark. It is dark around here.
Very dark. Very gloomy.
Christ.
Era right now.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Northwest.
I think this is all like, it sucks sometimes in the winter where it's cold and dark.
But if you don't... I know it sucks right now, but if you don't do your shit, the cat's going to get you.
It's going to suck worse.
Right. It's going to suck worse.
You got to keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm. Like, trudge along. We'll get to springtime and then
we're
going to
throw a little party.
Right.
Do a little dance.
Midsommar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get a little drunk. Mm-hmm. Keep it moving. We'll be fine. I think that is the theme. And maybe the theme for us
get
as well.
To it. But the hard part is, for me personally, pretending like January suddenly is like a new day.
No.
We need to work on chilling out for longer.
Yeah.
You know?
But I definitely remember you saying that you feel like you're kind of like, oh my God, it's taking forever. But then like you feel like you blink and then we're hit spring. You've said that.
I have?
Yeah. On this pod.
God. I forgot her. Whoever she was.
That passed you, right?
Would have been summertime me.
I mean, that was maybe last January. So I think about it this way when it comes to, because the winter solstice is the longest, or like the day with the least amount of daylight, right?
Yes, the longest night of the year.
Right.
Shortest day of the year,
right? And that is in a couple weeks from now. A
couple weeks from now.
And then we'll like gradually get.
And it gets better.
A little more sunlight. Or like just daylight.
Which is why it's time to fucking party, I guess.
I guess, yeah. You have the long night, and then we get a little more daylight.
Mm-hmm. And so then... go easy on yourself, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Rest.
Right? Just, you know, do a little binge watch, whatever you gotta do, right?
Bed rot.
Maybe
make
watch
a stew.
Do you watch Stranger Things?
I don't.
Okay.
David Harbour has sort of ruined it for me.
Yeah. I do watch it. I was like,
it's not.
Bummer.
I know, because I really liked him and them together. And
like, I know, right.
But I also haven't been watching it because those kids are way too old to be convincing.
They're not that fucking old. They're like 20, like 22. Okay, here's my thing.
In the
people
show,
keep talking about people. No, they're like seniors in high school.
Oh, so they're not, okay, that's fine. That's normal Hollywood stuff.
I mean, that's better than normal Hollywood because I feel like we've watched things growing up where the seniors were like 30.
It's true. That's true. Hollywood is always doing this to us.
Right. And like, honestly, I'd rather have it be that way. I don't want like you to exploit
young children.
Children for the movies or TV personally. I think it's hard with Stranger Things is because we literally watch them grow up.
Yes. So right. It just feels very different.
It feels very different because I think of the first fucking series was like 10 years ago and they were like 12.
I know.
And now they're like 22. Good. And you're like, oh shit. Like, these are adults now. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can just, it's a little too in real time.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Because it really isn't that big of a difference, I think.
I hear you.
Personally.
Okay. Well, are you enjoying it?
Yeah. It was good.
I can't believe we didn't talk about the Diddy documentary. We can't. It's too late.
No, we can talk about it right now.
We shouldn't.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a lot. You haven't been watching it.
I do appreciate how petty 50 Cent is.
Agreed.
And he made sure that he took an interview with ABC News because he knew that ABC News gets played in fucking prison.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like the man. Yeah,
it's a level of petty we should all strive.
Any flack he gets, not 50, but yes,
yeah,
Diddy,
yeah.
Like
so 50 deserves a petty award.
I know,
a petty trophy.
It was crazy though. It's crazy. Watch it. Your, I don't know.
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know.
Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Okay, we'll talk about it. But you know, that was the last episode of the year.
Ah,
we will be back in 2026.
Damn.
With new episodes, new stories, new stuff.
New stuff.
Maybe we should do some stickers.
Oh, okay. Should we
do stickers?
I don't know.
I have some ideas. We'll talk about it. And then maybe we also
stickers.
Yeah, we also have episode 100. We have to figure out something to do. I talked about it a few times. We'll figure it out.
All right.
I'm not too concerned. I'm a little concerned. This is episode 89. So we have 11 weeks to figure something out.
All right. God bless everybody.
You know, have a good holiday. Take care of yourself, whatever that means. Maybe you need to take a little vacation to yourself.
Hope you've already booked it because I've been looking to travel and it's quite expensive. So
just take yourself on a little, I don't know, like a drive. Day trip, a road trip. Mm-hmm. You can do something.
Get your snow tires.
Right. Yeah. Make sure you drive safe in the snow or the ice, whatever you're doing in the cold weather. I don't know. But enjoy yourself. Enjoy your fucking winter solstice. Maybe have a nice little like winter cocktail, some mulled wine, a nice hot toddy. I don't fucking know. But, you know, make sure you make something good for yourself in this winter season, I guess is my point.
Thank you.
But we will talk to you next year. And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
You're so sweet. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.